To go with Mr. Mike Sofka as we are inside of the Cafe Kubal Studios and continue to have the conversation this morning, awaiting Mike coming on to the broadcast so that we can talk about a bunch of different topics that I have set up for today that I'm very excited to hop into and always appreciate having Mike on the show here. So definitely thankful that we get to speak with him today and have some fun here where sports truly meets that thing called life on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So we are inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub on 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. They are open 7 days a week for you to dine inside and outside coming up here very soon in their outdoor dining where they also have their volleyball court. So you can hang out with them there. And of course, you can order takeout and delivery by going to their phone number, 315-487-2222. That's 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat Sports Pub. So make sure that you do that here today. And we appreciate everybody that has gone to the Wildcat and gotten all of their awesome specials, everything they have to offer. Their Wildcat wings are incredible. It's a mixture of a bunch of their different sauces, which makes their own unique sauce, which is truly, truly great. So make sure you go out there and get that today. A big shout out to the Wildcats for their amazing, amazing Wildcat wings, boneless and regular, as well as their chicken Caesar wrap there. You know, everything that they have there is so very good. So I love it. My favorites are the Wildcat wings. I also love their fried dough as a dessert. Their fried dough is absolutely incredible. So go out and get that today. So there's a lot of great stuff from the Wildcat Sports Pub, and we appreciate them as always for all that they do for us here in the community. So with that being said, Mr. Sofka is going to be joining us here momentarily, and there he is, Mr. Mike Sofka, hanging out with us where sports meets that thing called life. Mike, obviously want to appreciate your patience here as we've had things happen with Jordan Addison and the transfer portal and literally no control over collegiate athletics. And so it's been absolutely nuts. And we liken it to the NFL free agency. You can talk to anybody. You could do whatever you want in a lot of different ways. This is becoming professional athletics, which is, you know, going to affect the collegiate model for maybe the rest of forever. But we are where we are right now. And what we do know is if Jordan Addison was in this year's draft, he probably would have been selected in the first round, as we know that there was a giant run on receivers. And Mike is here on the inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, coming to us from Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. And of course, also here with us from the Winning Fantasy Football side of things, our group on Facebook. So Mike, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing very well. And Mike, you know, first and foremost, to kind of just hop into things here, we have a lot of different topics to get to this morning. And one of the topics that I definitely wanted to spend some time with is the, you know, the world of the quarterbacks that were drafted and where they went. So, you know, looking at these quarterbacks and where they ended up going, we only had one in the first round, Kenny Pickett going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was one of my picks, 20th overall. And I've had that pick kind of in my head for the last 6 months or so. And then we did not see Malik Willis go second. Malik Willis went third, and going second to all of that. And actually, to get Malik Willis, Tennessee traded up. And to get Matt Corral, the Panthers traded up. But the one that went second is one of my guys, Desmond Ridder, for the Atlanta Falcons, which is a perfect situation where he could very well get on the field this season, if not this season, maybe. Within the next couple seasons here, he'll find his path there with Marcus Mariota being in Atlanta. So let's start with Kenny Pickett. What are your thoughts on him going to Pittsburgh? And were you surprised that he was the only quarterback in the first round?
No, I wasn't surprised. I thought it would be the other way, actually. I thought it would be Malik Willis. But, you know, sometimes team needs get outweighed by a player's availability in the draft. And then some teams just take the best player at whatever position. So there's a lot of teams with a lot of holes. A lot of those got filled in this draft. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, to each his own. You know, one man's Malik Willis is another man's Kenny Pickett. We saw that with Kenny Pickett only having to stay what, 12, 20 feet over from where he was. I mean, he's in Pittsburgh, and he's going to Pittsburgh. So this is something they were able to watch him quite a bit up close, I'm sure. And this is a good fit for Kenny Pickett, I think. And, Malik is Malik, and, he's going to be a project. There's a guy I like a lot in Desmond Ridder, like you pointed out, going to the Falcons. And I like Matt Corral as well, going to the Panthers. I think that's a sneaky pick there. A lot of people, it's funny, I met Matt Corral once. I had a sideline pass for a Gator game, and I was down there pregame, halftime, and everything. And he was down there as well, and he had his tag on. I realized who he was. And I must have stood next to him for 5 solid minutes, and all I did was exchange a nod and a pleasantry, like, "Hi, how you doing?" Because I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be in a recruiting violation from getting a picture with this guy or saying the wrong thing. But anyway, I'm glad he was able to do something at Ole Miss. And yeah, I like the quarterbacks. You know who I like, and I'm interested to see. I'm really interested to see Brock Purdy, the Mr. Irrelevant. Everybody's talking about Garoppolo and Garoppolo. Hey man, Brock Purdy's on the way, Mr. Irrelevant. I think he'll make the team. But I'm really excited for the quarterbacks, where they got picked. I think it's a good game plan for just about everybody involved here. I think Malik's going to be fine with the Titans. I don't think, even though people said Ryan Tannehill came out and said it's not his, just like a la Aaron Rodgers a few years ago, it's not my job to mentor him. He can ask me questions and he can learn. I get it. The proper way to say that is my number one job is quarterback of this team. And in order to do that, my number one mission is to win games. And in order to win games, I have to make first downs. Everything else is secondary. That's the correct terminology there, Ryan, okay? Don't get yourself caught in a trap because now it looks like you're threatening and you're not going to cooperate with Malik Willis. So I think all these guys wound up in some good situations. Heck, I almost forgot Sam Howell out of North Carolina going to the Commanders. Yeah, they got a team name now, Mike Dan. They got a team name, Commanders.
Yeah, and thank the good Lord that they have a team name now because it was driving me nuts. But I mean, they listen. Sam Howell can find his way to become a starter on the Washington Commanders because they're in a situation where it's open season, right? They have a different quarterback every single year. They have not had one quarterback play an entire season, and I think at least what, like 4 or 5 years at least. We have seen Ryan Fitzpatrick. We have seen, the late Dwayne Haskins, rest in peace. We have seen now Carson Wentz being there. We have seen Kyle Allen be there from Houston. I mean, it is a round robin, just whoever's available, let's throw somebody in there, let's see what we can do. And so, I mean, Sam Howell playing, he may have to. He may not have a choice because this is what you live in. When you're on this team, this is just, it's the reality for me when it comes to this specific team in Washington. The Commanders finally have a name. I spent 2 seasons flipping out, getting very uncomfortable with this garbage. And now they finally have a name, but they still don't have an identity. That's the irony. I said what made sense was that they had no identity and no name. Because having no name, you don't have an identity. Having an identity, you don't have a name. But now you have a name, but you still don't have an identity. You don't have a true quarterback. You have Antonio Gibson, which is helpful. You have Terry McLaurin. You try to address some things there. You have some guys on the defensive side of the ball, but you don't have, this is who we are. This is who the Commanders are, and this is what we're going to do. And so for me, the jury's still out on what this team's going to look like, what this team's going to do, how this team is going to evolve or devolve. And there's a bunch of question marks. But Sam Howell, on his side of things, yeah, he has an opportunity to play right away because you're on a team that doesn't have, the incumbent starter at quarterback. And that's been something that's been an issue for them for years, and it's been open season. So we'll see where they go from here. But yeah, I mean, the other quarterback end up there. I mean, it's what I chose. It's what I thought. It's what I felt was going to happen ultimately. And I'm okay with it. I'm more than okay with this situation for Kenny Pickett. I think it's great for Kenny. I think it's great for the Steelers. I think it's great for the fan base. I think it's great because he's a pocket passer. He can take off and run. We saw the fake slide.
where I thought he was going to break his ankle. But, you know, I mean, he can do different things. I chose him for Pittsburgh when other people were saying, no, 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 they're going to go Malik Willis. I said, no, they're not. I said, Pittsburgh, they're traditionalists. Pittsburgh, if 31 franchises go in one direction, Pittsburgh will go in the other direction if it fits their morals and values. They didn't care that Antonio Brown was the best receiver in the country. He was a problem. They let him go. They didn't care that Le'Veon Bell was arguably the best running back in the country. He was a problem. They let him go. They do what they want to do. They're not one of those people that's going to follow. They're one of those people that are going to lead themselves. They don't care if you do what they do, but they're going to do what they do. And the way that they have gone about what they've gone about, they have done it successfully. They have built under Mike Tomlin's coaching era, they have had success in winning seasons and making it to the playoffs and being a team that's hard to beat and obviously getting to the championship game. We have seen so many good things come from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh does it the way that they want to do it, regardless of how it's being done. They'll dress however they want to dress. They've been wearing fanny packs for 30 years. They don't care that it was in, then it was out, then it came back. It was always in Pittsburgh. That's how they are. That's why Kenny Pickett made sense. He's a pocket guy. They are a pocket team. That is what they were going after. And beyond that, Malik Willis going to Tennessee. Listen, this is a good move. To me, this is a really good move, because Ryan Tannehill is a guy that you and I had in the top 10 at quarterback, right? We put him there in the top 10 going into the season when we did the show On Site On Location to bring you into the football season at Hooters on iDrive in Orlando, Florida. And I want to thank Tim Baum and everybody there at Hooters once again, Jeff and everyone. Thank you so much. So when we were out there and we did this, we put him as number 10 in fantasy quarterbacks because of the numbers that he had. Now, he is serviceable. The team was the number one team in the AFC without Derrick Henry from October, which says a lot about the coaching, says a lot about Mike Vrabel and everybody that they have there. But there will come a time when they're going to have to change, right? There will come a time where there's a changing of the guard. If I'm Malik Willis, I'm concerned that they didn't pay A.J. Brown, and we'll get to that, because this whole thing of, like, we draft somebody, we bring them in, and if they're really, really good, we're not going to pay them that much, and we're going to let them go. There's a question on what's going to happen from here with Malik Willis. But, you know, if Derrick Henry sticks around and Malik Willis takes over, you know, next season or two seasons down the road, whatever that may be, if and when he takes over this team, you have Malik Willis and Derrick Henry in the backfield running the ball, that would be tremendous. The other quarterbacks chosen, Sam Howell, I already talked about the fact it's open season, he's got an opportunity. Desmond Ridder has a chance to start the season. Desmond Ridder has a chance that if he doesn't play the season or start the season, Desmond Ridder could be the quarterback for the next decade for the Atlanta Falcons. His numbers are good. He had one season where he had a 55% completion percentage. The other season, 60% or above. He's done a lot of good things. And, you know, to me, Desmond Ridder has only gone up. He's never thrown double-digit interceptions in his career in four seasons at Cincinnati. He's beaten really strong teams. He brought Georgia I was at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl game a couple seasons ago. It wasn't Desmond Ridder's fault that they lost that game. They had to get a last-second field goal to get out of there alive. Georgia had to do that. And a lot of those Georgia players and Kirby Smart were the same team that came and won the national championship in the college football playoff this year. So let's remember that. Let's also remember that Desmond Ridder went to Notre Dame and beat the hell out of Notre Dame in South Bend, and it was a double-digit victory. Desmond Ridder got no respect from the majority of people, and now I'm hearing, oh, Desmond Ritter's a good guy. Oh, we're happy he's in Atlanta. He could be our guy. I love him a lot. Stop. Stop. Okay? Go back and check the tape on me. I've been Desmond Ridder for at least 2 years of talking about this guy and covering Cincinnati since Luke Fickell got in, and I've interviewed Desmond Ridder, and I've been there with him virtually or in the same room. I was on site at Nippert Stadium when they won the AAC championship. Stop with the everybody's a Desmond Ridder fan, because that's not true, okay? Y'all wanted Malik Willis. Then you thought Kenny Pickett was trash because somebody told you his hands were too small. And then Desmond Ridder was your third-round guy, but he's not that good. Going into the draft, Desmond Ridder was like the fourth choice. He was getting nothing. It was Matt Corral, but Matt Corral, because he played in the bowl game, and why did he do that? He said he would go back and do it in a heartbeat. He wanted to play with his team, and I respect him for that. And I love him for that. And let's go to Matt Corral in Carolina, another open season. Matt Corral may not have to worry about beating out Sam Darnold if Sam Darnold doesn't stay healthy. And I hope to God he does, because I never want to see that take somebody out of something. But Matt Corral could be the future of Carolina. Malik Willis could be the future of Tennessee. If I had to put my feet to the fire right now, I would say the guy that has the best chance of starting, Kenny Pickett. Next after him, Sam Howell in Washington. Next after Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder. Then Matt Corral, then Malik Willis. That's how I see it happen. You mentioned Purdy. San Francisco, another place of open season right now. And I guess staying with quarterbacks, Mike, I ask you this question. Where's Jimmy Garoppolo going to go, or are they going to stay with him? And where's Baker Mayfield going to go, or are they going to stay with him? Because the market for Jimmy Garoppolo is probably higher than Baker Mayfield, because he's been to a Super Bowl, because he's a guy. I mean, he needs to stay healthy, but he's already shown you he can get there. Baker Mayfield has shown you that he can't do much of anything. Now, I blame some of that on the coaches and the scheming, but Baker Mayfield is a tough sell right now. You might get a second and a third round pick. You might get a third and a fourth. You might get a second and a fourth. But what's the value on Baker Mayfield? What's the value on Jimmy Garoppolo? And do you think either one of them is going to be somewhere at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to me. You look at these guys that just got selected, and you got to ask yourself, if I'm a Baker Mayfield or a Jimmy Garoppolo, where do I rank among these rookie players? Well, that's not absolutely a fair question, because, you know, it may take these rookie players a couple years to get acclimated to the NFL speed of things, to get brought up. Right now they have tremendous upside and ability, but there's no dire need right away. But yeah, you got to ask yourself, what if you're a team that's hungry for a quarterback and you drafted a quarterback? Well, you're probably not going to be interested in a Garoppolo or a Mayfield. But what if you're a team like the Lions? We have Jared Goff at quarterback. I know there's been some question marks in Miami. What if the new quarterback they bring in Deshaun Watson in Cleveland isn't cleared to play for some reason? Now do they go back and grovel to Baker Mayfield? Houston, Davis Mills, I mean, he performed admirably last year. Let's see, I'm not sure about the Giants. The Giants, do they know where they're going? I mean, I don't think Daniel Jones is long for the Giants here. So if you look up and down, there's some teams that need a quarterback. There's some teams that are going to need a quarterback that we don't know about. And this is the biggest part, and this is where you're going to see the movement of either Garoppolo and or Mayfield, is as camps start to get going, as we start to ramp up, is there going to be an injury? Yeah. There's usually always an injury before the season and then early on in the season. So these guys are consummate professionals in Mayfield and Garoppolo. These guys are going to be fine. These guys will be ready to play wherever and whenever they go. But right now the jury's still out. Some teams sat pat through the draft. Now maybe that the dust is settled on the draft, maybe some of those teams who have an interest in those guys, maybe that'll start to turn up some heat as well. But, you know, there's a lot to be said yet, but we're in a holding pattern as far as those guys are concerned at the moment anyway.
Yeah, you know, and Greg just brought up, and I agree with this, I'm very surprised that we didn't see Seattle make a move for a quarterback, you know, and I thought Desmond Ritter's landing spot, he makes perfect sense to be in Atlanta, but I thought he made sense to be in Seattle too. I'm very surprised that, you know, they didn't do that in the draft. I'm surprised they didn't go after it. I think Baker Mayfield could have a landing spot in Seattle. I could see him going out there. I could see Baker, going out that way. Jimmy Garoppolo, listen, you've played him in your division. This is the thing with Seattle. You play San Francisco twice a season, right? And you didn't make the move for Jimmy Garoppolo. Allegedly, right? Allegedly, they haven't made a move for Jimmy Garoppolo. So you see him every year, but you haven't gone for him. So what is that saying? You know, and if you go for Baker Mayfield, you're getting more time out of him. You're getting more of a future out of him, right? You're getting hopefully a guy who will be less injury prone than Jimmy Garoppolo. So those are all benefits to you. Those are all benefits. And I mean, I would be surprised if Seattle didn't make a move
to go after Baker Mayfield. I think the teams that need a quarterback right now, I could see, honestly, I could see Jimmy Garoppolo going to Miami. Because Tua's a guy that he's there, but it's like, you know, it's up in the air. Is it Tua? Is it not Tua? Does he have a future? Does he not have a future? So I could see that. You know, I could also see maybe not this year, but if this was like 2 years into Zach Wilson and it's not working out with the Jets with all these weapons, then I could see Baker there. I could see Jimmy Garoppolo there. I think, you know, you have to also look at some of these other teams out there that could make a move for it. The Indianapolis Colts, they've been cycling through veteran guys. I don't think that Baker's necessarily that's his home, but that could be a Jimmy Garoppolo. They like going for guys later in their career who are going to play for a year or two. For some reason, the Colts like changing quarterbacks like underwear. Ever since Andrew Luck scared the heck, like just broke their hearts at what, 29 years old and retired, they haven't known what to do. And it's like, do we call this guy? Do we ask this guy to come out of retirement? Do we go to this guy? So, you know, I think there are a bunch of landing spots, and that's just in the AFC alone. I think in the NFC, with Daniel Jones and the situation there and them not picking up a team option, Baker Mayfield could be a fit there. Baker Mayfield likes some Baker Mayfield. He might like being in the limelights, knowing that he's always going to be in the New York Times, good, bad, or indifferent. He's always going to be in the news. So, you know, there's that side of it too. And, you know, I think that's kind of left things open here. But I would be surprised if Seattle didn't make a move. My gut is that Seattle would make the move for Baker Mayfield. And I'm really surprised that they haven't yet.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, like I said before, you know where I would go if I was Baker Mayfield and I had a choice? I would go to Detroit. If I could walk into Detroit, chances are, I think Baker Mayfield might be a better quarterback than Jared Goff. And I walk in, I got DeAndre Swift in the backfield. Oh, and they're going to throw the ball out to Jamal Williams, too. I got TJ Hockenson at tight end. I got DJ Chark there now. I got Amon Ross St. Brown. Oh, and we just drafted arguably one of the better receivers in the draft in Jameson Williams from Alabama. So, you know, if you're Williams and you go, yeah, I get to go to Detroit. My quarterback is, oh yeah, Jared Goff. You know, I mean, give me somebody. You know, I know Baker was more interested in commercials and all this other stuff, and I get it. And maybe some of the stuff went to his head. He did have a problem at wide receiver. Those guys were always hurt or not playing. And then, you know, they fixed that with some running game. And then, well, they struggled at tight end a bit. I get it. Stuff happens. You're going to take the fall as the quarterback. That's your responsibility. Fall on your sword. Don't say anything stupid. Go on to the next thing. Oh, and by the way, when you're on to the next thing, and then all of a sudden Deshaun Watson is suspended for a year or two, who wins? You know what I mean? So we can all win. Just do your job. Keep going forward. Somebody will pick you up. And again, if I was Garoppolo, I'd want to go to Detroit. I think they got an instant plug-and-play situation there for either Garoppolo or Mayfield. I think either one of those guys are better than Goff.
Yeah, and again, another situation I'm surprised about. I'm surprised that Jared Goff is still the quarterback. I'm surprised that they let that happen. You know, I told you when this move was made, I was very clear about what I thought about the trade. I thought, okay, Matt Stafford, you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year and actually, right, trying to win it the first couple of years. They just signed him an extension for 4 years. Now, will he play out those 4 years? We'll see. But as of right now, I mean, I hope he does. He's liking it there. He's had some fun with it with the AT&T commercial where he said you could spend 12 years with one thing and love it and then go to another thing and have immediate success and love that too and love them equally. And, you know, I mean, I commend him for the work that he's put in. And listen, he deserves it. How many quarterbacks have we seen in the NFL never get that chance, right? They were so good, but they never got to be on that team. And they always had to struggle. I mean, for goodness sake, same team, Barry Sanders. So good, but the team was awful. And what could Barry Sanders – I mean, Barry Sanders could have been a multi-time Super Bowl champion, but – they didn't have everything else around him. And so.
And a thought to that, Barry Sanders should have even have had more yards than he had. You know why? Because the team was bad. they were probably throwing the ball more. He wasn't getting the opportunities to run the ball as much. So yeah. Had he been on a decent team, his numbers may even be higher.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. You know, you put him in a situation where, what if he was the cowboy and Emmett Smith wasn't there? And how many times does Barry Sanders win? So, you know, I think that ultimately the Jared Goff thing, getting back to that, is that I said, you know, Matt Stafford, the Rams win because they get Stafford. And they have somebody right now that could arguably have his best season and his best weapons. And then you look at the other side of things and you say, that's weapons across the board. I know he had Megatron, but he didn't have all those weapons in Detroit. And then you look on the other side of it with Detroit and you say, okay, well, Jared Goff, you use him for a year. If he doesn't work out, then you transition because you have all those picks. Both teams won. Draft capital for Detroit. If you draft correctly, draft capital for Detroit. And on the other side of it, you have Matt Stafford. So the capital that Detroit has, not just this season, but down the road here, they have draft capital in more than just 2022's draft. So I thought that they would say, okay, you know what? We tried it. It didn't work. Let's go for a quarterback. Let's move forward. And you bring up a great point. Jimmy Garoppolo would be great there to plug and play. I think Baker Mayfield is just going to create more turmoil for them. See, Baker's got to go to a team where, like, and this is no disrespect to Detroit's coaching staff, Baker's got to go to a team where, like, a coach has been entrenched for a really long time and he's not going to put up with the beat. Like, he's been there, right? Like, Pete Carroll, like, if you are a problem, then, like, bye. You know what I mean? Like, that's the situation. I don't think you can go to Detroit and be a Baker Mayfield and have that personality. If you're Jimmy Garoppolo and you go to Detroit, then I think you can be immediately successful because you're going to be quiet, you're going to do your job and whatever. Baker, he's got to go to a place that makes sense for him. He's got to go to a place where I think he can go in and, you know, like I said, the Giants, it's the limelight. For Seattle, it's Pete Carroll, and he's probably not going to put up with your BS. But Pete Carroll's also been able to he has put up with a lot of BS, right? He had Marshawn Lynch. He had everything that went on with Russell Wilson in the back. And I want to call it BS, but in the back and forth with Russell Wilson. So there are different basically these are two different types of quarterbacks, and there's different places and different lists I would have for them. But I like what you said about Jimmy Garoppolo. I would have put Jimmy Garoppolo in Atlanta if they didn't draft Desmond Ridder. But I think ultimately both of these guys deserve the opportunity to play. I think they've done enough to show they should play. So I'm surprised that nothing's happened yet. And I wouldn't want Baker Mayfield in my locker room. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, listen, him and Trey Lance, last year they were in the same locker room, and it wasn't horrible, but they both played. Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson, you got off the field, whatever the heck happened, because we still don't know with Deshaun Watson, but you have all of Deshaun Watson's issues. You got the Baker Mayfield issues. You want to put that in a locker room, and you want Baker Mayfield to show up to camp. You want him to go to OTAs. You want him to sit on the sideline. You want him to carry a clipboard for Deshaun Watson. You're nuts. Like, Baker Mayfield will ruin your team. Just if he says nothing, if he just walks in with a put and just sits there, you know, texting on his phone during player meetings, you can't have Baker Mayfield in your locker room right now. You can't. And Greg said that Goff is better than Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't even – I mean, listen, Jared Goff helped the Rams get to a Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield hasn't gotten that yet. So if that's – you know, that I can understand your point there. But I'm saying it to you like this. And I didn't say that Baker Mayfield should go to Detroit. I said Jimmy Garoppolo should. Jared Goff doesn't work. He's not working. It's just not working. Okay, I don't know if Baker Mayfield's going to necessarily work, but Baker Mayfield is who I would choose over Drew Locke. It's what team he's going to, right? I choose Mayfield over Locke. I choose Jimmy Garoppolo over Jared Goff 1,000 times, and they've both been to a Super Bowl. So I don't see, you know, the Goff is greater than Mayfield. What are we fighting for here? I mean, the people that – if you want Jared Goff to be your – quarterback in Detroit this season, then I would say plan to draft high in 2023.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at my rankings here for quarterback and what I got so far this year. I got Goff with that stellar lineup that I talked about at 28. There's 32 teams. I got him at 28. I got Mayfield at 32, and he's not even really the guy on his own team. So, yeah, I get it. Those guys are comparable, but did it work last year with Goff? Well, not really. Did it work last year for Baker? No, he's kind of taken a step back. Well, everybody obviously needs a fresh start. Cleveland has said the direction they're going to go in. They've already taken that step.
Yeah,
there's no going back from it now, in a sense. But it would be surprising to me if we saw Mayfield or Garoppolo on a team before an injury to a quarterback. I just think it's going to be an injury in camp or something's going to happen. Something's, you know, maybe Deshaun Jackson does Deshaun Watson does get, you know, some sort of penalties levied against him, a suspension or what have you. I mean, they had that in baseball. Trevor Bauer with domestic violence, 2 seasons he's been suspended. So it's not unheard of that these things can happen, but I would think that Cleveland would have done their homework on that beforehand, and I would think that, you know, that wouldn't be an issue. But it is Cleveland, so it wouldn't surprise me either.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, it is Cleveland, right? When everybody's supposed to do their homework, Cleveland's always like, my dog ate it, right? I mean, that dog pound has eaten more homework than I even know that they had homework. I mean, I think in the summer they call up the teachers and say, my dog ate the homework. And it's like, dude, we're not even in school right now. Like, use it when you're supposed to use it. But, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. If the moves – Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield haven't been moved yet. I think there's a better chance Baker gets moved than Jimmy Garoppolo, but Cleveland has made horrific decisions. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The best draft that the Cleveland Browns have had in the last decade, the last 2 decades, was in the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner. That was their best draft. And they drafted Chadwick Boseman. Amen to that. So, you know, and rest in peace, Chadwick. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, to go – I agree with you. If it hasn't happened, it's May. If it hasn't happened now, as we're getting ready for rookie mini camps, I don't think it's going to happen unless it needs to happen at this point. But I mean, Cleveland, you got to figure something out. You got to have, I mean, this is the dog, right? This is the dog pound. You need to have a separate dog house for Baker Mayfield. You can't have him in the locker room. You got to build him his own facility, because him around anybody right now, in my opinion, is just not going to be good for the good juju that's going to be in there. Bailey Zappi, Western Kentucky, going to the Patriots in round number 4 at the bottom of that round. Chris Oladokun out of South Dakota State, going to Pittsburgh. They take 2 quarterbacks, so that's a 7th-round pick. Skylar Thompson, 7th-rounder out of Kansas State to Miami. And then you mentioned Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, 7th-round Iowa State quarterback. And then we've seen some other quarterbacks. E.J. Perry is going to Jacksonville right now, and I think it's Cole Kelly has found his way, I believe, to Philadelphia. So there's different things that are going on right now, different guys that are going to be tested out. My guy Anthony Brown, quarterback, going to the Ravens in recent news, so I'm excited for that. But let's jump to the running backs, Mike, and take a look at this. The running backs that we think will have an immediate impact on fantasy football this season. Now, I know Greg asked us, do we have a top 10 or top 12 fantasy rookie list of all the rookies? So, I mean – we can obviously address that and talk about that, who we think our rookie list is. Mike, I'll let you kind of address that here as, you know, a top 10, top 12 fantasy rookie list on what you think as Greg was talking about it for Dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I have. That's what I do. You can go to the site right now and you can get all that information for free. I have the top 10 Dynasty, top 10 rookies. I have top 10 PPR, top 10 standard scoring based on position as well. Just go to the team tab at the top for 2022 rankings. And just to give you a quick idea, obviously I had Breece Hall at number 1. I thought he was the best running back available there. I think Kenneth Walker is a tremendous opportunity in Seattle. And I like James Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother, going to Buffalo. I like that one a lot. But the guy that I really am excited about is my guy out of Florida. I don't think they used up the tread on the tires on him. They rotate the backs nicely there. Damian Pierce for the Texans. Watch out for Damian Pierce. He could be a dark horse.
Yeah, you know, I think, and Greg, I appreciate, you know, the question here. I think the fantasy studs, you know, for me, is that, you know, I think the guys to really look to that I think are going to have an immediate impact, Breece Hall with the Jets, I agree. Kenneth Walker III, Seattle hasn't had a running back. They've had five, but the five of them together have not added up to one in these last couple seasons here. So I think they definitely were in need. So Kenneth Walker III, who comes from Michigan State, who had transferred from Wake Forest, he had the second most yards in the FBS this year, and I believe it was 1,606 from scrimmage when it comes to running back specific, you know, carrying the ball. Breece Hall did a little bit of everything. He had a 1,472-yard season, a 1,572-yard season. He caught over 20 balls in one season, 30-plus balls, I think 30 balls this past season. So there's a lot of good here when we come to Breece Hall. Love Breece Hall in fantasy this year. I think he'll have an immediate impact. I think Kenneth Walker III will have an immediate impact. I think Drake London will have an immediate impact with the Falcons because he has to at wide receiver. I think Christian Watson will have an immediate impact with the Packers because he has to. He's a 6'5 guy coming out of, he's from Tampa. And we see Christian Watson coming to us. I think it was North Dakota State that he came from. And then, you know, I think Treylon Burks for Tennessee, he has to. I think Garrett Wilson, if Zach Wilson can do what he needs to do, Garrett and Zach, and I heard that they're not related, but I cannot confirm or deny. But I think Garrett Wilson automatically has to become a big help. Chris Olave, who the Saints traded up for, Jamison Williams with the Lions. I mean, the man is fast as all get out. Sky Moore immediately has an effect with the Chiefs, with Tyreek Hill being out here. And then you mentioned James Cook with the Bills, which I absolutely agree with. He gives a lot of help to them. And I think another dark horse guy in fantasy is somebody who went to the Colts who desperately needed a receiver. He was the second Cincinnati guy off the board. He went in the second round as Alec Pierce, who I got to watch with the Bearcats this year. I think that, you know, he has another thing. Another dark horse guy, Tyler Allgeier, a running back for the Falcons. I think that he could help out. I think, John, you mentioned Damian Pierce for the Texans at running back. I would also say John Mechie, the wide receiver, John Mechie III for the Texans, because they need help at every piece of this. And, you know, dare I say it, a dark, dark horse, I would look at a guy like Desmond Ridder for the Falcons at quarterback. And let's see what happens with Josh Jacobs. But Zamir White, who I covered at Georgia, he's another guy to look at from the Raiders, because that's kind of open season there. So that'll be interesting. And the tight end that we had talked about, Mike, you and I, Trey McBride going to the Cardinals, with DeAndre Hopkins being out for the first six games for the breaking the performance enhancing drug policy. I think Trey McBride, they haven't had a tight end in forever. So I think there's a lot of different guys that can help out. I would also mention George Pickens of the Steelers, because they don't have Juju Smith-Schuster anymore. James Washington had never really found himself there. There's a lot of things that didn't happen in Pittsburgh, and now they're like turning that leaf. So I think, you know, I know you asked for 10 to 12. I probably gave you more there, but, you know, ultimately I think, Greg, and to everybody that's watching and listening, I think, you know, there's a lot of rookies that are going to make an immediate impact. And I would venture to tell you that Kenneth Walker III, he's definitely on my draft board. Breece Hall is on my draft board. Christian Watson is on my draft board. Sky Moore is a later round pick on my draft board, maybe a mid round guy. But there's a lot of players that I think are going to have an immediate impact on their teams because of necessity. And, you know, at least in those first few weeks, they're going to give them the ball and they're going to throw their way and see what they can do, because they don't have other options. You know, they don't have anybody. I mean, they might have somebody on the roster, but that doesn't mean that somebody's going to be somebody on the team this year. So I think there's a lot of players that can have an immediate impact. I'm really excited about Kenneth Walker III. I'm really excited about Breece Hall, and I'm really excited about James Cook when we're strictly talking about running backs. And your question, Greg, kind of led us into the immediate impact running back. So from there, Mike, and you mentioned running backs too, let's jump into the wide receiver frenzy, shall we? You know, at wide receiver, when we look at it by round, there was a run on wide receivers, which we figured would happen. Here, I also thought, you know, there was depth at wide receiver. The first one taken off the board, you and I agreed on this. Drake London going to the Falcons out of USC, 8th overall. And then Garrett Wilson, also another one that in the mock draft we had him, Garrett Wilson, number 10 out of Ohio State to the Jets. And then I had Chris Olave going to the Commanders at 11. The Commanders traded with their Saints, but Chris Olave was still the pick. Jameson Williams, we both thought he would go early. You had him a little bit higher than I did, but I understood if he went this here. The Lions trade up from 32 to 2. They get him at 12 out of Alabama. And then from there, we see a guy who I was high on, who I told you I thought the Eagles would take, I think, at 15. He goes at 16 instead. Jahan Dotson out of Penn State going higher than I think maybe other people would have him, but I had him right in that region, 15, 16, a wide receiver there. Then we saw Treylon Burks in a trade. So he goes in with that trade that the Eagles get A.J. Brown and the Titans get Treylon Burks, another guy going in the first round here. So a lot of first rounders at wide receiver that went here. And then at the top of the second round, the Packers did what I thought they would do at the bottom of the first round, which was draft Christian Watson in round number 2, and Christian Watson going high here in round 3, the second pick out of North Dakota State. So a lot of receivers. And then we saw Wendell Robinson out of Kentucky go 43rd overall to the Giants. And then we saw John Metchie, who I just mentioned out of Alabama, John Metchie the third, go to the Texans 44th overall. And then we saw a bunch of receivers from there. Tyquan Thornton out of Baylor going 50th overall to the Patriots. George Pickens, and I understood that because the Patriots typically don't go skill player in the first round. And Keel Harry and Sony Michel kind of bit him in the butt for doing that. So they waited until round number 2. Then we saw 3 in a row, George Pickens, Alec Pierce, Sky Moore, all guys that I mentioned. So in the first 2 rounds, a lot of receivers. What are your thoughts on the frenzy? And do you think that these receivers can have an immediate impact? Do you, as much as we thought this would happen and that there would be a bunch going, do you like what ended up shaking out in the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think it was definitely interesting. You know, I knew this was a wide receiver rich draft, so that's always exciting when one position is kind of dominant in talent, because you kind of see where that team weighs the best player available versus team need as well. So I thought it was interesting. I knew Drake London was going to be one of the top receivers taken. I think everybody knew that. And Atlanta's a perfect fit for him. They have a desperate need for a receiver. And then we had talked about previous about the Olave and Wilson being similar in height, similar in 40 times, similar in numbers. And these guys go boom, boom off the board there to the Jets and Saints, respectively. Jameson Williams, I think he could be considered the top wide receiver in the class, albeit the injury he had. Jahan Dotson, as you said, out of Penn State, I think he has an opportunity to step in and compete right away. As I do Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks, a big body guy, a 4.55 guy, reminds me a little bit of a guy that they just traded away to Philadelphia. The only thing I can think of there is they knew it's not going to work in their formula or however they're building their team in order for them to pay A.J. Brown what he was going to need to get paid. So they turned that around and made that a first round selection. Their biggest hope, their biggest gamble with doing that is that Treylon Burks is going to equal something close to Brown. Looking down a little further, I was shocked to see Christian Wilson go to Green Bay. I think it's a great place. I think it's great that he went there. He was one of the top people on my adjusted explosiveness index, which you can go to the site and you can find that. Christian Watson is going to be the perfect guy. They already got him penciled in as the X receiver. So I think this is great. Big body guy, tall guy. I think it's going to work out great for him and Aaron Rodgers. Wandale Robinson, I like. John Metchie could be the darkest horse in this whole thing. He could jump up and help out in Houston. But the thing I like the best, the matchup I like the best, Sky Moore going to the Chiefs. Yeah, I think he's going to be the replacement for Tyreek Hill. Literally, I think he's going to get on the field. I think him and Mahomes are going to have a connectivity that it looks like it was him and Hill. So I think Sky Moore is the guy I'm really looking forward to. I think that's the best value pick in the draft as far as receivers go.
Well, what I found interesting is that Christian Watson, like I said, I had him going to the Packers at the end of the first round at 28th, and he ends up going at the top of the second round. So not too many picks away to the same team I thought he would go to.
And still no first round wide receivers for Green Bay. Again, yeah. Another year goes by.
And I think that they did that just to, like, I honestly think at this point, again, I mean, we talked about it. The Green Bay Packers have such a dysfunctional marriage with Aaron Rodgers where it was like, oh, we'll take it. We'll take a wide receiver, but we're going to literally make you wait for that. Like, oh, we'll do it. But just out of sheer, like, they want you to know that, like, you may want a receiver. We're not going to take it. We'll take it a couple picks later, but just to irk you, like, just to get on your back, we're going to do that. Like, just to piss you off. It's kind of like when you're in that bad relationship and you know that like you go out and you tell her all the time, like, when you don't look at me when we're talking and a guy walks by, I feel like you're checking that guy out. And she's not checking that guy out, but she's looking at that guy because she knows it bothers you. And it's like, that is that situation at Green Bay. We know that you want a quarterback, or we know you want a wide receiver, Aaron Rodgers. We know you want that. So we're not going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you, but we're going to give it to you when we want to give it to you. And that, to me, was ridiculous, yet they still got the guy I wanted. And then in the same respect, the Chiefs did the same thing. I had them getting, and you had them getting, Sky Moore in that 2030 picks that they had, the 2930 that they had in the first round. They got him in the second round. So our prediction, like, was still accurate with Sky Moore. My prediction with Christian Watson was still accurate, still went to the team. They just waited a little bit longer to bring these guys in. But you mentioned it, and I want to talk about it. What are the Titans trying to prove? That they're cheap? I mean, you have A.J. Brown, 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard receiver, and if he played a full season this season, it looks like he would have had – he had almost 900 yards. So I'd venture to say he would have been a 1,000-yard receiver. Three seasons in the NFL – 1,000 yards, and what looks like it would have been another 1,000-yard season if he had stayed healthy all the way through. You let go of him on draft night to draft a wide receiver who some compare to A.J. Brown. So what are you saying to Treylon Burks? If you have 3 good years with us, we're not going to pay you either? Is this a new, like, NFL thing to do? Is this like a new scheme, a new system where the Titans are going to be like, we're going to draft a guy that we've done our research on that we think will be really good. And if he does what we think he's going to do in 3 years, we're going to trade him and draft another guy and not pay him and see what he does and then do it again. So every 3 years, we're going to cycle through these guys because we don't care that they're productive. We want them to be productive to win for us in 3 seasons, but then we also want them to be productive so that they're trade bait. But we're never going to pay these guys. So we'd rather just have A.J. Brown and give you the $3 million and the $3 million and the $4 million and then let you go and go get another guy. And then if Treylon Burks does everything he's supposed to do, we're going to get rid of him and then go get another guy. This didn't make any sense for me except for money, because the Eagles trade for A.J. Brown with the Titans. And within what, Mike, 3 minutes, the Eagles had signed an extension to A.J. Brown in this awesome contract. It's almost like the Titans called around and said, this is what A.J. Brown wants. This is how many years he wants. And then the Eagles said, yeah, we'll pay that to him. Like, it doesn't make sense to me how you know what you have in A.J. Brown. He's in a rookie contract. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. And you let him go to go draft another receiver, unless it was just about the money. And if it's just about the money, what did the Titans just say to Derrick Henry? What did they just say to Malik Willis? What did they just say to everybody on the team? It, to me, this is the Titans doing something that I didn't think they were, which is outrageously cheap, is what it looks like.
Well, I think a major portion of this whole situation is the salary cap issue. They're 28th with available salary cap money left. They only have, like, you know, a little over $5 million, I think, available. Ryan Tannehill's eating up most of that. I mean, his cap hit's 38.6 this year. It's 18.3% of the cap. Ryan Tannehill's not the guy that needs to be making that money. Yeah. The formula in the NFL has been, and I can go back to, like, when Seattle and Russell Wilson went to the Super Bowl, the teams that have rookie quarterback contracts, not necessarily a rookie quarterback, but a quarterback on his rookie contract, you have at least one star receiver, you have at least one star running back, you have a solid offensive line, and even a median defense. That's the formula for winning in the NFL under the salary cap restrictions. Quarterbacks, though, demand a large portion, a large share of that cap. They, you know, once they get to a certain level. So I think what the Titans did was they were looking at things. Now, they're going to have to pay Ryan Tannehill. He's under contract one more year. Well, contracts like that aren't guaranteed in the NFL. So he won't be making a little more money next year for them. Hopefully Malik Willis will come on board. And, well, I'm not saying hopefully, but I mean, Ryan Tannehill's, you know, potentially, you know, dispensable this year or the next year after the season's complete.
Yeah.
So again, you got a guy like Derrick Henry locked up. They knew they weren't going to be able to lock up A.J. Brown. They probably told A.J. Brown probably wanted a new contract this year, last year, the rookie contract, but he wants a new contract. He wants to get paid. I don't blame him. He's an outstanding talent. Have you seen this guy play? He's fast, he's speed, hard hitting, not afraid to go up and get the ball, can block, can do everything. The guy's a baller. But if you honestly, if you ever sit down with him and say, look, we can't pay you, and by the way, when we do, what, you know, once we do free up this money from Tannehill, we're still probably not going to be able to pay what you're going to deserve to get paid. So here's what we're going to do. It's going to work for you and me. We're going to trade you. You're going to get a first round. You're going to get all the money you want somewhere else. And we're doing that for you, and we're going to get a great pick in return. Their hope, again, is that Treylon Burks is that guy. So I think Tennessee's going to be in a turning situation. They're like, look, we like the quarterback situation we have right this minute.
Yeah.
Giving up with A.J. Brown's not what we wanted to do, but we did bring in Treylon Burks. We do have Derrick Henry. If he can stay healthy, we do have a formidable defense. Maybe we got one more shot of this. If they don't go far this year in the playoffs, and Tennessee's been a solid team the past couple of years, especially at home. If they don't go far in the playoffs, I could see them just scrapping and, you know, parting ways with Ryan Tannehill, trying to bring in another, you know, major league free agent that maybe they can pay. I just think the timing and the energy was off on the A.J. Brown thing.
Well, you know, and he gets a 4-year, $100 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. A little over half is guaranteed, 57. So, I mean, and remember, folks, the guaranteed money, that's the number. You look at $100 million, but the guaranteed money is the number because the guaranteed is what he's getting. He may never see the other $43 million. So that benefits Philly, and it also benefits Tennessee because Tennessee's got, you know, like you said, 38.6, the cap number, Ryan Tannehill, Bud Dupree, 19.2, Derrick Henry, $15 million, Taylor Lewan, their offensive alignment of 14.6, almost 14.7. And then, you know, you got other people that are hitting your cap here. Harold Landry is hitting the cap. Go on.
Well, here's the bad news. Julio Jones still hits the cap.
Yeah, he's still, and I was just going to say that. He's still on the cap.
You went from having two of the best receivers to neither now.
Yeah, you have Julio Jones, who you released, hitting your cap for $14.3 million. I mean, and he's not even playing on your team. So that's a big issue for them. And when you look at them right now and you say to yourself, okay, well, what does Tennessee have? You know, what is their depth chart when you're paying Julio Jones, who isn't on your team anymore? Who do you have? Well, you brought in Robert Woods, you have Treylon Burks, and then you have all of these non-household names yet. Nick Westbrook, Des Fitzpatrick, Kyle Phillips, Racy McMath, Cody Hollister, Mason Kinsey, and Josh Malone. So it's really Treylon Burks and Robert Woods. And that's what you're looking for. And Woods is not going to cost you as much, and Treylon's got a rookie contract. So you cheapened it up and hoping that it works out for your team. And again, you know, you showed you could win without Derrick Henry, but you had A.J. Brown. You didn't really ever have Julio Jones, because who's ever had Julio Jones in the last few years, because he's injured all the time. But, you know, Mike, we see, and hopefully Julio can find a place and stay healthy, because I don't want to see him have to end his career on that. I don't want to see anybody have to end their career on that. But looking at the other side of it, Marquise Hollywood Brown, visibly on social media, Lamar Jackson was not healthy. Or not healthy, not happy with Marquise Hollywood Brown leaving. We did not see any – we saw WTF, which we know from watching the Modern Family show, that means why the face. But, you know, the reality here of Marquise Hollywood Brown leaving, and where he is right now, what that does for Lamar Jackson. Now, they traded Marquise Hollywood Brown, the Ravens did, and the 100th overall pick to the Cardinals in exchange for the 23rd overall pick. Now, that move, now Brown discussed multiple things relating to the trade, and he said that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers made a play for him, but he ultimately ended up in Arizona. So this is where we stand here right now. Lamar Jackson was not happy about this by any stretch of the imagination. And, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Hollywood was the one guy they couldn't trust in Sammy Watkins. He's not there anymore. And I don't think you or I thought he was going to be a factor in Baltimore. Miles Boykin out of Notre Dame was fourth at best. Mark Andrews was really – it was Marquise Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. Now you have Mark Andrews. You don't have Sammy Watkins. You don't have Hollywood. So what does this do for Lamar Jackson? And is this a dedication even more so by the Ravens to say, we're just going to run 75 to 80% of the time and you're going to have to beat us that way?
Yeah, well, I think the Ravens did a couple things here. They're doubling down on their picks that they've had, and I think they realized they couldn't pay Hollywood Brown like that either. So I think it's a combination of things. They can reunite Hollywood Brown with Mahomes. Those guys are going to do well together. Not Mahomes, Kyler Murray. I'm sorry, Kyler Murray. I don't think Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet the second are striking fear in the hearts of defensive coordinators anywhere. They do have Mark Andrews, though. Please remember that. Oh, and they did what they did when they drafted Mark Andrews. They drafted Hayden Hurst, then they came back and got Mark Andrews a couple rounds later. And Hayden Hurst is the guy who ended up departing, and Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the league. They did the same thing this year. They doubled down on the tight end situation with Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely. So, again, they already have a great blocking tight end in Nick Boyle. They have Josh Oliver in the fold. So look for the double tight end sets. Look for that. Look for them to run the ball even more. They're a running team. J.K. Dobbins was hurt a little bit, but they can back that up with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. So hopefully one of these other guys will shine here at the wide receiver position. Maybe a Tylan Wallace from last year will finally get his chance to get on the field and show what he can do. You know, hopefully somebody – this is a grinded out, dirty type situation with Baltimore. Run the ball between the tackles, throw those little dump passes, throw it to the tight end, and win with your defense. It's old school Baltimore football.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and you see a division, again, that's going to do what they want to do. The Steelers are going to be the Steelers. They're going to play football the way they want to play football. The Ravens are going to be the Ravens. They're going to play football the way they want to play football. And that's just the reality of it all. You know, and Marquise Hollywood Brown, he said, quote, "It was just my happiness. I talked to Lamar," speaking of Lamar Jackson, "I talked to Lamar about it after my second year and then after my third year leading up to the end of the season. You know, he wasn't playing. I let him know again, like, yeah, bro, I can't do it. You know, it's not really on Lamar. Like, I love Lamar. It was just, you know, it's just the system wasn't for me personally. You know, I love all my teammates. I love the guys, but it was just something I had to think about for myself," end quote. And he talked about, you know, the fact that he would get the ball, not get the ball. There was inconsistencies with it. So, you know, this is something that we thought about, Mike, and it's something I think about with Syracuse all the time, right? Syracuse in the last 2 years have lost a ton of receivers, a ton of receivers. And what have they done in the last 2 years? Committed to the run, and you have a running quarterback. You have a quarterback who likes to run the ball more than pass it, and you have Sean Tucker. So you got the running game there being established. Wide receivers don't want to be there. They don't want to play for that. And in the case of the Baltimore Ravens, Marquise Hollywood Brown didn't want the inconsistencies. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to go through that. You can't fault the guy for what he's doing. And credit to the Ravens by saying, you know what? Okay. You don't want to be here because of our system. We're not going to force you to be here. We're not going to entrench you. How weird it is that the Steelers, if it's not working, they let them go. For the Ravens, if it's not good for, you know, Marquise, they let them go. But for the Cleveland Browns, they got to hold on to Baker Mayfield no matter what's happening. And then the Bengals, while all these teams are going through what's working, what's not working, the Bengals go to the Super Bowl. So in the second season for Joe Burrow, and really a season and a half because he didn't play part of his rookie season toward the end. So, I mean, it's interesting, but I do commend the Ravens for saying, listen, you didn't necessarily sign up for this. We get it. We're going to let you go.
Well, you know, it's the grass is always greener, and that's a dangerous thing. I'm a veteran of the automotive business as well as the restaurant business, two very, very hard businesses. And, you know, a lot of times, people are like, yeah, no, and they want to go somewhere else. And then they realize they had it pretty good where they had it, and they should have stayed where they were, but it's just this one change that they made, so I'll make another change. Pretty soon, they're hopping from place to place to place. They're not happy. There's no consistency. The dealerships aren't happy with them, or the restaurants aren't happy with them because they don't know what to expect because you're new. Look, these guys, there's a couple guys that went back to what was familiar. They went back to the binky. Mommy took the blanket away from you when you went to school, but you can't wait to come home and grab that little blanket because that's your security. Davante Adams going back to Vegas to partner with what? His security, who he knew in college, Derek Carr. Now you got Hollywood Brown doing the same thing, going back to what he thought was good, his relationship with Kyler Murray. So it's very interesting how people think the grass is greener and or they long for days of yorn. It's you can't go back. You're not at Oklahoma anymore. You're not at Fresno State anymore. You're a professional. You're supposed to be near the top of your position in your profession. And I get it. If you're not happy, you're not happy. God bless you. Go somewhere else and be happy. You know, I was in a meeting one time in the automotive industry, and this is something that they usually pull out every once in a while at a meeting, whether it's in the restaurant industry or in the automotive industry. Oh, yeah, everybody's excited to be here. Everybody's having a great time. Oh, yeah, we're going to kill it, yada, yada, yada. If you don't want to be here, raise your hand now and leave. Well, everyone was like, no, we want to be here. One time, a dude raised his hand, and he got up and walked out. Everybody just looked like, are you kidding me? And that's just like an NFL player leaving the game.
Yeah.
I think there was a guy a couple years ago left the game at halftime. He retired at halftime. You know, so I get it. If your heart's not in it, you're not in it. And if your heart's not in it in the NFL, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to let down your team and maybe somebody's going to get injured, or you yourself are going to get injured because you're not all in. So I give them credit. If they're not all in, they want to go somewhere else, just be careful what you ask for. You just may get it.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, like you said, Kyler Murray, Marquise Hollywood Brown, teammates in Oklahoma, so they want to be back together again. And then you look at the case of Davante Adams at Fresno State with Derek Carr. They want to be teammates again. The players holding franchises in this purgatory, right? Trade me to where I want to go or else. And, you know, it's gotten out of hand. I talked about it in the first hour of today's show on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora inside the Cafe Kubal Studios. I've been clear about that. I mean, players are running the ship now. Players are telling you, I don't want to play for you anymore. I want to go here. You're going to let me go here, right? I'm going here whether or not you want me to go here. And that's what's happening in the NFL, and it's been happening for years where there was so much control to the owners and you know, to the teams, which was wrong, but now there's so much control to the players. A player can sign a six-year contract with you, extension, and then a year or two into the contract go, yeah, my buddy just got drafted in Cincinnati. I'm going to go over there. So you're going to send me over there. And it's like, dude, I'm paying you money for the next 4 years. Like, I got to have somebody take this contract. No, you're going to eat 30 mil out of the 40. You're going to eat the 30 in dead cap, and you're going to send me over there because I said so. It's like, wait a second. I'm not going to pay for you to not be on my team. And then the guy, well, then I'm not going to show up. Well, you're going to be fined 30 grand. Well, okay, then I'll show up and I'll just sit in the corner and sulk.
Or my ankle hurts.
Yeah, you know, and we've seen players do that too, right? You know, I can't play today. Oh, I can't play next week. And then you're wondering, were they really, I mean, you look at Calvin Ridley and he says mental health and you're saying, okay, was it mental health? Because then you're out gambling. So then it's like, was it mental health or did you just not want to play? So, but you make us ask those questions because you go out and gamble when you say that you're taking care of your health. If you're taking care of your health, nobody's going to get on you about that. Nobody should, right? Nobody should. But don't go out and do that, because now you've crippled Atlanta for two seasons. Well, it's not about Atlanta, it's about me, Dan. Okay, well, if it's about you and it's about your health, then let it be about your health. Don't be out there gambling. Like, it just bothers me that players had no control, and now players have all the control. That if I'm a guy who says to myself, I'm a head coach, and I sit down with the GM and I sit down with the owner and I go, okay, what's the roster look like for 2022-23? And I say, okay, we got these seven guys on offense. We got this guy locked up for 2 years, this guy for three. This guy's in his rookie contract. This guy's got four more years. This guy's got two more years. This guy's got three more years. Great. And then I look on the defensive side and go, okay, we got our linebackers locked up. We got half of our D-line locked up. We got our corners locked up. We got one of our safeties locked up. We got our kicker locked up. And then three of those guys that have 3 years left say, I don't want to be here anymore, coach. So I'm either going to be a total jack, you know what, in practice, and I'm just going to be out goofing around, and I'm going to make this a you know what show. I'm going to Jalen Ramsey this locker room, or you're going to trade me. So I'm going to hold the whole team hostage. But going into the season, I thought I had what I needed. Now my job is to build a championship team, and I've done that. But your selfishness is going to affect the entire team now, and the longer I keep you, the more problems I have. So, and I saw that from Dave Caldwell. I spoke to Dave Caldwell in the hallway of the Jacksonville locker room, and I said, how you doing, Dave? It's good to see you again. And he's like, how am I doing? And he just kind of, in a moment, let his emotion fly. First thing out of his mouth, he goes, the best player we have on our team wants to be traded. He's talking about Jalen Ramsey. He's like, best player on our team wants to leave the team. Like, how am I supposed to feel? And that's something that when you're building a team, you should not have to worry about everybody that's a free agent and then everybody that's not a free agent. If you're coming back, you're coming back, and that's it. And sometimes you get what you ask for, right? Dwight Howard is selfish, 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 selfish. And I knew that from Orlando. But where did he go? He went here, selfish, here, selfish, here, selfish, here, selfish. He's not winning championships. And if they're winning championships, it's not because of him. So if you bring that into your locker room, and people are like, well, Dan, Jalen Ramsey seems fine with the Rams because he's winning. I said, let Matt Stafford make a mistake. Let Matt Stafford not go back to the Super Bowl this year. Let Matt Stafford throw a bunch of picks. Let the team have 8 wins with a few games to go. Then listen to Jalen Ramsey. Because he loved Blake Bortles until Blake Bortles started to not have the best games. Until they weren't going back to that. And mind you, it's not Blake Bortles' fault what happened after they going into the AFC Championship game. It's not Blake Bortles' fault that when Jalen Ramsey got off the plane and showed up at the Jacksonville Stadium, that he guaranteed they'd be in the Super Bowl. He was the one that put out the locker room material. The Steelers did it to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville used it against them. The Patriots don't need your help, but Jalen Ramsey helped the Patriots. Jalen Ramsey is the one that ran his mouth, not Blake Bortles. So people forget that. Oh, Jalen Ramsey's okay now. Is he? He's still Jalen Ramsey. He's just winning right now. So to me, you have to really think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And yeah, okay, you want to go play with your quarterback. You want your receiver to come in. That's all well and good. But again, coaches aren't supposed to tamper. Teams aren't supposed to tamper. But players can all the time. You're telling me Derek Carr and Devontae didn't talk at all? They didn't shake hands after the game and go, yo, next year, why don't you come over here? Screw Aaron Rodgers. That man's a you-know-what. Like, how do you not know? Like, Marquise Hollywood Brown, you think that Kyler Murray didn't go, bro, I run the ball. Lamar runs the ball, but I throw it too. Like, why don't you come out to Arizona? Why don't you stop this nonsense in Baltimore and let's go win some games? Like, the players can do whatever they want, and they get away with it. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're living in a world right now where everybody's under contract, but nobody's under contract.
Yeah, and you just got to decide what type of game you're going to play, what type of ball you're going to play based on the talent around you, and that's what good managers do. You know, yes, you're losing Jalen Ramsey. You had the conversation with Caldwell, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, this is – I'm losing my best player. What if he went and tore an ACL? You'd still be without the next player. You know, yeah. So stuff happens. It's the NFL. It's you don't you don't rebuild, you reload. That's what SEC teams do. Just next man up, you know, that's what they say. NFL, not for long. Stuff happens. And, you know, your comment about Jalen Ramsey, don't forget, Jalen Ramsey is the guy who, when he showed up talking about Super Bowl, when he showed up that year, he showed up in a Brinks truck. They had armed security guards with him because he was about to get that money. Yeah. Well, he did get that money elsewhere, and I get it. You know, cornerbacks are like the wide receivers of the defense. They're the ones with all the ego. They're the ones that have to be the stars. They're the ones that need to be the face of the franchise and all that, and glitz and glamour and get deals and endorsements. I get it. That's what you do. I get it. That's your role. You don't see offensive linemen out there doing that.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of defensive interior linemen doing that. You don't even Aaron Donald, obviously the best player in the league, you don't see him doing that. So it is what it is, you know, and guys' temperaments, that's what best managers do. Even if it's not in football, you take the talent that you have and you utilize it to the best of your team's ability. And it's your job consistently to have a top three and a bottom three. These bottom three guys, these are the guys I'm watching that may not make the team much longer here. And the reason why is I'm looking at these other three guys over here that may make our team better. So any good manager is going to constantly help his team evolve. He's going to make the best use out of the people he has in the positions they're best at. You know, yeah. I'm not going to have Hank Aaron as my catcher. You know, that didn't work. Hank Aaron was a home run hitter. That's what you did. That's where he was. So you got to utilize your team's talents to the best of your ability to forward the team. Have those bottom guys that you're looking to upgrade and have some upgrades you're willing to bring in. So if you lose a Jalen Ramsey or guys like that along the way, so be it. It was never going to work.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. And you just got to figure it out. And – you know, I mean, it's with friendships, it's with romantic relationships, it's with business partnerships, it's with any of that stuff. She may be hot, but she may be crazy. He may be fun, but he may be abusive. It might be a lot of money that they want to pay you, but they may not be good moral people, right? Or somebody might say, I'm going to give you all this money, but then they never pay you on time. The reality of it all is you have to be able to sniff that out. Is it worth, what are you worth? You know, is the bad side of it worth dealing with? And I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter how hot she is. There's no amount of hot that can battle back crazy. And it doesn't matter how much money they're going to pay you if they don't do good business practices, because eventually you're not going to get that money. I've had people promise me a lot of money per month to sign a contract. But I'm like, I know these people might pay me the first 3 months. They're not going to pay me the other nine. So it looks good. It sounds good. But it's kind of like a signing bonus. It's kind of like they're offering me a $100 million contract, but I'm only going to get 57. Realize that some people talk a big game. Some people walk a big game. And you may have to take a little bit less money, or you may have to do this, you may have to do that to ease yourself into something that's going to be a lot better for you down the road. Jalen Ramsey is very talented, but he's a head case. Yannick Ngakoue, very talented, but a head case. Dwight Howard, very talented, but a head case. So that's reality. And see, to me, you come to me as a GM and you say, I want to get paid. I want to get my money. I want to be treated like I deserve. And then you want to leave me a year later? So you want me to give you security. And that's the one thing you won't give me back. Don't ask for something that you're not willing to give. And speaking about what you're willing to give, there was a bunch of draft trades. And this is how some things shook out here. There was a day three draft trades, a bunch of different pieces that happened. There was trades throughout the draft here. And then we saw a bunch of teams get some things later on here. We saw the Rams trade up in the fourth round for a running back. And they ended up getting Kyren Williams. And I believe coming from Notre Dame. And so they made that trade there. So we saw a bunch of trades, but I want to go to the trades that happened here early on, because there was trades all throughout the draft. There was trades on day two, and the Panthers, we talked about them moving up to take a quarterback and Matt Corral. We saw the Patriots also, well, the Titans trading up to get Malik Malik Willis. And then we saw the some other things happen here. I want to go back to the early rounds here and want to address some of the things that happened here. The Jets trading up for the first round running back, first running back taken in the draft, Breece Hall. They traded up there to do that, and they traded with the Giants to do that. So two teams playing in MetLife made that trade. Christian Watson was a trade up by the Packers, who traded with a divisional opponent with the Minnesota Vikings, who went and got Alec Pierce. That could work out for both of them. The Jaguars moved up in round one after the number one overall pick was Trayvon Walker. They traded back into the draft to take Utah linebacker Devin Lloyd, and they traded with Tampa, another team in Florida. They gave up the first pick of the second round to get back into the first round, but Tampa got a lot for this. Tampa got Logan Hall, the first pick of the second round, a defensive end. They got a fourth-round pick, number 106. They got a tight end, Cade Otton, to be there for them with O.J. Howard being gone, and we'll see what's going to happen as far as Rob Gronkowski. And they got a sixth-round pick, which they used, and the pick was traded to Buffalo, and they got Matt Ariaza, a punter. Then the Jets traded to get back into the first round to get out of FSU a guy I covered, a Jermaine Johnson, the second, 26th overall. They also got a third-round pick that they used on tight end Jeremy Ruckert, and they haven't had a tight end of note in years. Tennessee got the 35th pick to get cornerback Roger McCreary. They got a third-round pick, 69th overall, to get an offensive tackle. And they got a fifth-round pick to get a wide receiver in Kyle Phillips. The offensive tackle was Nicholas Pettit Frere. So we've seen a lot of these moves here of the Bills trade, where the Bills got 23rd overall to got Kyer Elam out of the Florida Gators, your team, and the Ravens got center Tyler Linderbaum, who I originally had in the first round out of Iowa. He's 25th overall and a fourth-round pick in punter Jordan Stout. We saw the Chiefs trade here with the Patriots. The Chiefs go and get 21 overall Trent McDuffie at corner. The Patriots get three picks for that. They get number 29, where they get Cole Strange, who I originally had in the first round, offensive guard out of Chattanooga. They got quarterback Matt Corral in this. They traded the pick to Carolina, pardon me. So the Patriots had that, traded that over to Carolina, who got Matt Corral. And they kept the fourth rounder to get DB Jack Jones. We talked about the Eagles trade, where Tennessee got Treylon Burks, and then they traded the pick away to the Jets for that. So it was really receiver for receiver in this, but so many moves happened. I said there would be 5 to 7 trades in the first round. There was 9, Mike. So what are the ones that stuck out to you, which also, mind you, the Eagles did something to the Texans that they did to the Cowboys a few years ago. The Eagles traded one pick up to get Dallas Goedert, to take him away from Dallas, the tight end, and then they traded up to take away what you and I thought would be the Jordan Davis pick, who would go to the Eagles. They trade up to do this, and the Eagles get Jordan Davis, and they do that, who was going to be the next pick that we thought would go to the Baltimore Ravens at 14. He goes 13th. So a couple times the Eagles have done this in recent history, and the Eagles end up giving three picks to Houston, and then Houston turns four picks to Houston to trade up, and then Houston sheds three of those picks of those four. They give them up. So Houston's still having a problem. They get four picks just for the Eagles to trade up to 13th overall. And then Houston responds by drafting at 15 to get Kenyon Green and then letting a bunch of other stuff go. So a ton of picks, and then those picks became picks. So a trade became a trade, became a trade, and caused this giant domino effect from day one. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was awesome. I think it was great. I think if you didn't have a scorecard, if you weren't keeping score, you didn't know what the heck was going on. If you missed some of the drafts, you were like, wait a second, how are they picking there? So I thought one of the most interesting ones was Green Bay trading back up in the second round to take Christian Watson. Yeah. The reason why I bring that one up, they did that through Detroit, but it was from Minnesota. So, I mean, that's a divisional thing. That doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth if you're Minnesota. So I think some of the things, like you talked about, Jordan Davis to the Ravens, we thought. But hey, they ended up just as well, Kyle Hamilton. And I like Kyle Hamilton. He's a guy that's not afraid to come up in the box. He's a guy that's going to make tackles. And that's what they do in Baltimore. If you're a safety, you better have that Ed Reed type thing. You better have your head on a swivel. You better be able to cover, but you're going to come up and make some tackles as well. And I like that a lot. So I think early in the first and second round, as those trades were happening, it was changing the complexity of teams cheat sheet or draft grade list, whatever you want to call it. So, oh, well, they traded up and they ended up taking the defensive tackle. I had them going here. So then your priorities may be changing as a team. You still may want player A, but you had no idea this other guy was going to drop to you now because of these trades. So, you know, it affects the whole draft. It was wonderful to see that. Like you said, 9 different trades in the first round. I thought it was exciting because it kept you on the edge of your seat. It kept the draft interesting.
Yeah, and we'll see how these, you know, payoff years down the road, these teams trading within the same state, within the same division, within, you know, in the case of the Jets or the Giants, the same stadium. So we'll see what happens from all of this. But as always, a ton of coverage here, plenty of more things to talk about, a lot of great stuff coming up. Also want to make note of the fact that we have our international games that have been decided this morning. So I do want to make note of these games as they have been released, the 5 games in the international series. So we will have in London, in the UK, we will have Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints on October 2nd on NFL Network at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have the Giants and the Packers also at Tottenham Stadium in London, United Kingdom, 9:30 a.m. a week later on October 9th on NFL Network. The Broncos and the Jaguars, the former offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach of the Jaguars and a good friend of mine, who's now the head coach of the Broncos, who was just featured on Wake Up Call. And you could go watch that on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Nate Hackett will get his shot, first shot against his old team, Broncos and Jaguars at Wembley Stadium, London, UK, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, the day before Halloween on October 30th on ESPN+. The Seahawks and the Bucks will have the first game ever in Germany of the NFL in Munich, and that will be at Allianz Arena, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, November 13th on NFL Network. And then the Niners and the Cardinals will play a divisional game of the NFC West at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City, Mexico, at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time on November 21st on ESPN. I'm fine with all of these except for the fact that they're putting the Broncos and the Jaguars on ESPN Plus, because that means you have to pay extra for it, and that's some BS right there. You're going to have a game overseas. You want to make sure as many eyes can be on it, and that was a mistake by the NFL. Outside of that, games in Mexico, 3 in the UK and 1 in Germany for the first time ever. I'm good with it. And, of course, Tom Brady gets to make history, but I'm not going to give Tom Brady a lot of publicity because the man's been, like, looking at his guns and talking about how great – I am so done with Tom Brady. Shut up. When you have to talk about yourself, it means that you don't have self-confidence. You don't. If you need other people to tell you how great you are, something's broken inside of you. Tom, you've won a lot of Super Bowls. You've made a lot of money. You've won in Tampa. You've won in New England. But if you need other people to tell you how sexy you are, how pretty you are, how great you are, shut up, Tom Brady. Shut your mouth. Yes, you're the GOAT. You've earned the right to be called the GOAT. But stop taking pictures of yourself talking about how awesome you are. Shut your mouth and move on. I am so done with this, you know, like when people come out and they tell you, I am such a humble person, by saying that, you're not. So shut up and let's move on.
Yeah, well, He should have been a wide receiver. You know, I mean, they're the guys with the hey, I'm the great. They're the guys, you know, or a defensive back. You know, that's who he should have been. That's who he is at heart. You know, I'm not gonna talk down about Tom Brady ever. I mean, I used to not think he was good. That was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 Super Bowls ago. You know, you got to give it to the guy. He's the greatest of all time. But I get it. There's a certain swagger that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And be a little more humble. I get it. I think he is. I mean, look at him. He's got a He's got a supermodel wife. He's got a rock star life. He's an NFL player. He's going to wear a gold jacket soon. He's going down as the GOAT. And, yeah, I get it. Rubs people the wrong way. You know, Muhammad Ali rubbed people the wrong way, too. There's a lot of people like that. They have big egos. That puts them on a stage. And you know what else that does? It sells. Everybody wants to have a piece of you. And people are willing to pay for that. That's why a guy like Tom Brady is much like Michael Jordan. He didn't have to be the highest paid guy. Spread some of that other money around. Because, you know, I'm getting all this other money here. And it's more than I'm getting from the NFL, actually, in endorsements, my own companies, my investments, and so forth. So I think if we really knew all that Tom Brady was and does, and he really was overly braggadocious about it, I could see that. But I don't think he's over the line with it. I think he's okay with it. And if I was in his position, I was getting ready to wear a gold jacket. I'm the GOAT. I'm coming off Super Bowl wins. You know, I'm supermodel. All of these great things are going on in my life. I got my own business, and everything's taking off, and everything looks up. You know, I may pat myself on the back here or there. You got to promote, because if you're not promoting you, no one else is.
But there's a difference between promoting yourself and being a jerk. And
true that. Dan Marino is the biggest jerk I ever met. Trust me, I know.
Because you walk up to the podium. I don't want a guy to go walk up to the podium and say, "I'm the greatest of all time. Everybody loves me. The NFL is better because I'm in it." Stop. You want to go up there and you want to talk about your accolades and the things you're proud about and the things you've done and all that stuff. That's all well and good. But I am the biggest promoter of myself. My company is Dan Tortora Broadcast Media. But there is a difference between confidence and cockiness. There's a difference between I'm promoting myself and I'm telling you that I'm fantastic. Okay, I don't go on the air and say, "I'm an amazing broadcaster and I'm the greatest that ever lived and I'm the best and everybody should love me because I'm awesome." I'm not going around saying, "Look at my hot girlfriend." I'm not going around saying, "I got it like that." I'm not telling people how much money I make. There's a way to promote yourself there's the dance of promoting yourself without being a jackhole. There's a way to do that. And I think Tom Brady is towing that line with me right now. And that's why I'm going, can I have the Tom Brady that was the GOAT that didn't tell me how sexy he is? Because, like, I'm okay with that. You know, there's nothing wrong. Listen, I take pictures. I go out there. I'm proud of myself. I'm working out. I might take a picture with my shirt off at times. I might tell people, "Hey, go out, promote yourself again." But I was doing it for other people. I'm like, "Look at, I changed my body. Look at my muscles now. Look at my body now. Like, I went out and put the work in. You can too." I was trying to pay it forward. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I was single, I was trying to put it out there saying, "Hey, ladies, like, I'm here." But you got your model wife. Let her tell you that you're pretty. You know, let her tell you that. And let me say something about Tom Brady right now. If you continue to buy male Uggs, you will never be pretty to me. So with that being said, Mike Sofka, Hall of Fame, fantasyfootball.com, myself, Dan Tortora, Wake Up Call, DT.com. You're the GOAT. You okay? We know that. You are the GOAT. Mike and I have finally admitted that you are the GOAT, Tom Brady. But, you know, when you stand up and you say, "I'm pretty, I'm sexy, everybody wants to have sex with me, you know how it is," like, stop, okay? Because that makes it, like, and I always said that to girls when I was dating, you can get so ugly like that. When you tell me, "Dan, if you break up with me, everybody's going to want a piece of this. Why don't we break up right now? And why don't we just go see?" Because I don't want to be with somebody like that. You got a model wife, you got a smoking hot ex, you have a family, you're in movies, you're the GOAT. Like, you have a lot of things to be proud of, Tom Brady, but humbleness gets you a lot farther with me. Promote yourself. Listen, if you come out and you talk about TB12 and why it's great and what you do and why people should be a part of it, I'm cool with that. But you go out there and you say, "Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I could be your stunt double." Bro, shut up. No, you could not. Let's stop that nonsense. Let Rock be The Rock. You be Tom Brady. I'm all about you promoting your business. I'm all about you promoting the Buccaneers. I'm all about you promoting other people and paying it forward. But there is a fine line between I think I'm awesome and this is my business and this is what I'm proud of. You can be proud, but be proud and humble. That's all I'm asking. So with that being said, Mike Sofka, myself, Dan Tortora, Winning Fantasy Football on Facebook. We went through a lot of stuff here. This has been your show. And I can tell you, folks, I watch shows, I listen to shows. this show just jam-packed a bunch of stuff in here to make you laugh, to make you think, to make you agree, to make you disagree. We had a lot of fun with this one, and we are here every Wednesday for you. Mike, as always, I appreciate you. Under promise, over deliver. We promised you an hour. We gave you an hour and a half. I always am thankful for you, Mike, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you, Dan. I look forward to next time as well.
Take care.